A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 9th of March 2021, Tuesday class. We will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, Wu Liang Yi Qing, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. So we are at page 129. We will continue from there afterwards. So as usual, we will off the light, and we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So just relax body and mind, relax completely, be at ease, then maintain awareness. After you relax, you maintain awareness for as long as you can. The four support for awareness-based meditation are very important. They are the first one, relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax your entire body and mind. Then after that, develop the ability to maintain awareness. The first three support is supposed to be relax, aware, and maintain awareness for as long as you can. That's why it's called 24 hours technically. Then the last one is trust. So after you have relaxed body and mind completely, be at ease. Then allow the mind to settle down. Means you just maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Don't follow. Don't even try to know. Just maintain awareness until the mind quiet down. Until the thinking, the sankhara activity, the mundane movement or sankhara movement, until they completely slow down, then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, the awareness within. This awareness within is very important. That is your true nature, your true mind, your silent mind. They can meditate. So all of meditation points towards that training. And the fastest way is to follow the four support. So the first three, relax, aware, maintain awareness for as long as you can. In the present day, the church school of Buddhism is also a place where people engage in spiritual cultivation. But here there are many opportunities to engage in spiritual practice while still working among and with people. We get to meet many different people and even get to see many who are truly able to give up their wealth, wife, children, and kingdom. So this part is related to Ciji. Earlier on, the other paragraph, we go back, is regarding monastic who left the society, those who become monks and ordained. So I read that sentence so that you can recall what we actually shared earlier on. Therefore, in the past, it was mentioned monastic left society to engage in spiritual practice. When they renounced the secular life, they let go of their families, distanced themselves from society, and entered monastic practice centers or way places. They learned to give up worldly habits and desire, and to mutually support each other's spiritual cultivation and aspiration. After leaving society behind and letting go of worldly desire, people's anger naturally lessened as well in the spiritual practice way place or center. No one is fighting to get anything. If nothing to take issue over, people's heart can naturally become open and their thoughts pure. Then there is nothing in doubt. Sorry, there is nothing to doubt and nothing to feel arrogance about. So it's easier to rid themselves of habitual tendency. So the spiritual life or the monastic life, that's why they say you renounce. You're supposed to develop the cultivation more or less, more easily, yeah? Because you can do it full time and you can have very conducive environment and condition for you to develop it. But it depends on the individual actually, yeah? Because if you are not serious and you don't understand the importance of renunciation and why you renounce and how you should develop the faith, the diligence, perseverance and cultivation after that, you may not be able to do so that well. So most of the time people may also have that idea that if you are lay people, you don't stand much chance. Because a lay person has a lot of worldly duties and worldly activity, yeah, to engage in. Sometimes they actually get themselves entangled and lost in the worldly activities. Then they lost their focus, which is towards the spiritual development or cultivation. And mostly people are more concerned about materialistic success and gain. So the focus is different. That's why sometimes you hear this comment. The monastic, they engage themselves full time. They commit themselves full time to cultivate. If the monastic also cannot do it, you think the lay person stand a chance or not? Logically, that sounds reasonable, based on logic. But like I say, it depends on the individual. If the individual have the understanding in the past inheritance of the cultivation from the karmic nature and spiritual nature, whether you are in a monastic or you are as a lay person, there is no difference. Either way, they will move, they will progress, and they will become very different. So the individual is very important. Then today, what we were shared by the author is, he said in the present day, Suci school of Buddhism is also a place where people engage in spiritual cultivation. So instead of going to the way place, the monastic centers, you can also go to Suci. But here in Suci, according to the author, he said there are many opportunities for you to engage in spiritual practice while still working among and with people. So according to them, you get to meet different people and even get to see many who are truly able to give up their wealth, their children, their wife and their kingdom. Means they can sacrifice for a greater good. Means to really develop their spiritual practice and cultivation. So that's how we continue on to this today's sharing. Okay, we move on. In the sutta, there are many stories of how various Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, in the process of their spiritual cultivation, give up their materialistic assets and even their spouse and children in order to give to others. The Agama Sutta tells of the story of a group of poor workers who labor hard every day for a mere what mercha? Meager. The pronunciation I'm not familiar with this one. For a meager income to keep their family clothed and fed. One day a worker said to the others, Sakyamuni Buddha has arrived at our village and many people are going there to make offering and listen to the teaching. I heard that Sakyamuni Buddha is a great enlightened one and that by listening to his teaching or to him teach, one can accumulate blessings for a lifetime to come. It's too bad that we don't have the good fortune to be able to make offering and listen to the teaching. Then another working group or another worker spoke up. He said, we can still make offering. Everyone turned to look at him. Someone said, you are even poorer than me. You are dressed in rags. How can you make offering? So that was the comment. Eh? Then we continue. Eh? The next page. The worker said, there are so many ways for us. Oh, sorry. There are so many of us. Collectively, can't we make an offering? Oh, then everybody agree. Yeah, together. Yes, we'll do it together. We should be able to make a suitable offering to the Sangha and the Buddha. Everyone happily went home to get some money. The person who made the suggestion was happy that everybody agreed to his idea. But he was also very troubled. My wife and children are still waiting for my wages I earned today to buy food to cook. Considering how hard it is for us to make ends meet, how can I make an offering to the Sangha and the Buddha? When he returned home, his wife saw that there was something on his mind. Out of concern, she asked, you seem unhappy. What's wrong? The Buddha has arrived at our village, so I want to bring everyone's effort together to make an offering to the Buddha and the Sangha because I have the support of friends who share the same aspiration and mission. I'm very happy, the wife said. That is very good. I'm happy for you too. He looked helplessly at his wife and said, but what can we contribute or offer to the Buddha? The wife thought, we are destitute. We don't have another set of clothes or even a small piece of cloth. What could we possibly use to make an offering? But then she had an idea and encouraged her husband by saying, there is something that you can use to make an offering. Your labor means your hard work. Huh? How can I use that to make an offering? The money I make from my labor isn't even enough to feed our family. She said, don't worry. You still have me. Go and find a wealthy family that needs a servant. Sell me to them and use the money to make an offering to the Sangha. Her husband said, it won't be right to sell you just because I want to make an offering to the Sangha. The wife smiled and said, the money that you offer will have come from selling me, so I will also accumulate blessing from your offering. The husband then agreed, that's true, because we are poor. We will share in the blessings. So the husband went out and found a wealthy family who need a nanny. They decided to hire his wife for 3 years in exchange for enough money to match the contribution of the other workers who were making offering to the Sangha and the Buddha. When the Buddha began teaching in front of those poor workers, he kindly said to the workers, sorry, to the worker who sold his wife for 3 years, with the offering that you made, you will accumulate twice the merit. Everyone looked at each other in confusion. So the Buddha explained that this worker had done in order to make his offering. Upon hearing this, everybody praised the worker. When the wealthy man who employed the worker's wife heard the story, he was also deeply touched. He told her, "Your family needs you. The 3 days you have spent here is enough to fulfill the 3-year contract. Hurry back to your family." After hearing this news, the Buddha said, "The wealthy elder has also accumulated merit through this." From this story, we learn that as long as we have resolve to give with unconditional love, we can even let go of wealth, wife, children, and kingdom. So this is one of the very encouraging story. Yeah? But I haven't heard of this Jataka story. I don't know, this is the first time I'm reading about it. Never mind, we assume it's there. In modern time, there are also many similar stories. When we were building the hospital in Hualien, many people asked for advances on their salaries to help us. One woman signed a 3-year contract with her employer, asked for the whole salary in advance, and used her husband's name to make a donation of 1 million Taiwan money for him to become an honorary board member. Isn't this being able to give up wealth, wife, and children? Another person donated Taiwan 300,000 for a hospital room to get up at 2 a.m. every morning to sweep the street, saving her monthly 8,000 Taiwanese money salary for more than 3 years until she had the money. In such history, there are many touching examples that are just like the story of the Buddhist suttas. There are many who volunteer and donate money, give up all that is hard to give up. Everyone who has the resolve to give can walk the bodhisattva path. So this dana parami is something that is very beautiful. When you understand, when it unfolds, it is really, really magnificent and beautiful. The Sayadana Parami can also bring forth a lot of good condition for you to receive all this materialistic wholesomeness, because the nature's law is such, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So the more you offer, donate, or give, the more you will receive in return for your virtue, for your kindness, for all the beautiful things that you have done. Giving up a kingdom is talking about a much larger scale. In the past, cities were considered independent states, and their leaders were called kings. These kingdoms often fought one another over land and resources, mobilizing great armies and bringing great suffering to the people. Conflict like this occur in the present day as well. For example, the 5-day war between Russia and Georgia. into OOA. Erupted because of a dispute over a natural resource supply line connecting Asia and Europe. The war led to widespread bombing with many casualties on both sides. The international community attempted to mediate the conflict but could not prompt an immediate solution or resolution. Over 100,000 refugees were forced from their home and endured indescribable suffering. Because of the ambitions and desire of a few, and because neither side is willing to yield, land and homes were destroyed and innocent citizens suffered. If only one side would have been willing to give a little to the other to yield a little, then the conflict could have been easily avoided. In ancient times, it was a simple matter to give up a kingdom. All it took was for the king to abdicate his throne. In this era of democracy, the country belongs to all its citizens. So how can it be given? The general idea is similar to how many of Tsuji's recycling stations are established on land that was privately donated. This donor had often said, in order to save the planet, I am willing to lend my land without cost to Tsuji to use as a recycling station. Many people go even further, and on top of the right to use the land, they also give the land title to Tsuji. To practice giving or dhanaparami, we must be able to give up everything, our wealth, our wife, and even our kingdom. Without a truly generous heart and a thorough understanding of the principles, this may not be easy. This is very difficult indeed. If on the other hand, a person resolves to give and understands the principles, even if they do not have any financial resources, they can contribute their energy and effort or donate the earnings from their work. People often say to me, Master, I let my wife devote herself to Tsuji full time and not worry about anything at home. And some wives tell me, I let my husband devote himself to charity work and not have to worry about our household and business. Whether people are giving their wives or their husband, actually they are both walking the Bodhisattva path by having the equanimity to give. They can understand the true meaning of life. So this way of thinking and developing the understanding of the Dhamma way or the principle is very beautiful. That's the reason why in certain society, they have very good traditional practices, especially in Sri Lanka. I was told, if you have one of your children renounce, it is indeed a great joy, because they have this joy to know that it is very wholesome, because their son can go the spiritual path to serve not only their family and themselves alone, they can go and serve humanity, the world, and contribute to society. So in that sense, they develop the joy. But if you look at certain other traditions, especially certain conservative Chinese family, the moment the parent heard their children is going to renounce or to become monk, I tell you, they freak, they panic. And most of the time, there will be a lot of objection unless the parents themselves are cultivated through spiritual cultivator or devoted Buddhist devotees. So it's not easy. But for those who understand, the understanding is beautiful. That's why they encourage their children, sometimes their spouse, if they know that that is what their spouse like to do, they will encourage. He said, you don't have to worry about taking care of the household. I will take care of the household. You go ahead and do what you want. So they are willing to sacrifice for their spouse. So in return, like the Buddha said, this is double parami. Because of your sacrifice, the other spouse get to do those spiritual and wholesome cultivation and practices. So in return, both benefited because you need to have consent. Just like during the Buddha's time, I think later on it was laid down as a rule for children, I think, below certain age, if they want to renounce and join the Sangha, they need to seek the permission from their parents. So if the parents can give their blessing for a greater wholesomeness or virtue, for a greater good, that is itself very wholesome, very meaningful, and very beautiful. So these are the understanding that our society and our world need. But by nature, not everybody can have that type of understanding. Because unless you're on the spiritual path, developing the spiritual cultivation, you are not able to give consent to such thing or allow such thing to happen, especially to your children or your spouse. Okay, then we will go on. The next subheading is, there are three forms of giving. This one I think Theravada also has. First is the giving of materialistic goods or materialistic wealth. Then the next one is the gift of Dhamma or gift of truth. Then the next one is the gift of fearlessness. We give with the strength of our hands and feet. We give with our brain power to the very end. We manifest wondrous use. So here there is a slight difference. In the Theravada teaching, the three types of giving is slightly different. The first one is materialistic giving is the same. And the second one is the gift of life, actually, when you donate blood, donate organ and all those things. Then the last one, of course, the third one is the gift of truth, gift of Dhamma. The gift of truth actually covered the part on the gift of fearlessness. When people are suffering, when people has problem, when people encounter the First Noble Truth reality and become afflicted, then when you have the capacity or ability to help, and when there is condition to help, you can help by sharing the understanding of the Dhamma, the principles, Dhamma principles that you have understood. So when you give them the appropriate advice and they are able to benefit from it, they will calm down and develop the understanding to resolve their whatever suffering amicably. So through this, their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their sorrow, their sadness, their lamentation, all this can be reversed or rooted out. So I feel that the Theravada's sharing on that part is more appropriate, more in-depth. But we also respect what the author mentioned here. Okay, I'll read on. People's lives are sustained by the mind right things in this world. Every human being needs materialistic things. Oh, well, for example, a newborn baby first encounters a pair of hands during delivery. Then the water that was bathed in, followed by the swaddling cloth that provides the warmth. Even though humans are born from their parents, no one can survive without the provision of nutritious food. Without materialistic resources or wealth, like clothing, housing, transportation, and the other essential needs, it's not easy. So no one can survive without all this. Eh? From this point of view, every person from the moment they enter the world or came to this world, they have been a recipient of others' generosity. Who has not received materialistic things and support from others? Perhaps some people may think all those things were paid for with money. They do not realize that in fact, money is only a medium for the exchange of materialistic goods or things that come from other people's hard work. The value of currency varies from country to country and even from day to day. For example, during the hyperinflation in Zimbabwe in 2007, a loaf of bread cost 10 million Zimbabwe money. In 2008, the same loaf of bread cost 7 million. Oh, sorry, 7 billion. In a matter of days, commodity price increased over 100-fold. The value of the largest bill increased from 50 billion in 2007 to 100 billion in 2008, and then to 100 trillion in 2009. The citizens found themselves in a crisis where even if they had money, they still could not buy food. So this is very true. Hyperinflation can happen when you don't manage your economy well. Your country can get into big trouble. Then your currency can really become like not worth anything, like worthless paper. So a lot of countries with hyperinflation or political problem, they end up because of hyperinflation. Sometimes they say to use the money to buy toilet paper. Sometimes it's cheaper to use the money to wipe whatever you want to wipe with your currency. Because toilet paper costs much more. You need much more printed money to buy the same maybe amount of toilet paper. So if you don't have the good karma, sometimes you may end up staying in a country with hyperinflation. In fact, Malaysia also encountered once, but that one was not hyperinflation of our own money. It was because of Japanese occupation. When the Japanese occupied Malaysia, I remember, that I was not born yet. I was born about 11 years after the World War II. Then, as I grew up, I heard my father told me, he said during the Second World War, our neighbor, they were doing business. So he made the wrong decision. He thought Japanese will be the supreme government master. Master race that colonized Malaysia, and they will be very recognized and powerful. So he decided to sell everything he has and exchange for Japanese currency. He actually hoarded a lot of Japanese currency, crates and crates and crates and boxes of currency in Japanese currency. So after the war, when he heard the Japanese lost and surrender, he couldn't believe. Overnight, all the currency that he owned, that he kept, become worthless paper. So even when I grew up, he still asked me, do you want to have some? Still new stack and stack of it in his house and shops. He has a shop in front and a big house at the back. He has a big family. But being a businessman, he is wealthy because he has asset, he has land. So because of that, he learned that lesson. He used to tell my father, never, never put all your money into one basket. Then my father also liked to joke with him. He said, you didn't put all into one basket. You still have plantation land and all those things. You still have shops, property, and other assets. Yeah, he runs the breeder business. So during that time, to be a breeder, he used to hatch the chicken egg and the duck egg. And they breed all these chicks and small duckling for sales to people. They have the hatchery. That time you have money to buy that hatchery, you already very successful, quite rich. So this possible if you don't have the good karma. You may end up staying in a country where there is this hyperinflation and you get yourself into trouble. Even nowadays in our modern society, there are still countries with this problem. Zimbabwe one is famous. The hyperinflation was so bad. Then we have the South American crisis. I remember in the early days, I heard of the Mexican crisis. And a lot of South American countries, very badly affected because of war, because of corruption, the government and all those things. Then recently, even Venezuela, so rich in oil, reserve, everything, the money also end up like at one time, hyperinflation, until I was told, I heard of the news. You sell your residential house, double story terrace. The amount of money you receive during that time in Venezuela, when the hyperinflation come, it can only buy you a cup of coffee, Starbucks coffee. That's it. One whole house. Yeah, the money become worthless until people don't recognize the money. It can be so bad. And many other country who not very well run or properly run because of politics or don't know whatever it is, end up this way. That's why we have to be careful. So you must have good parami or good karma. Otherwise, you will end up staying or migrating to a country where this hyperinflation thing can happen. Either you are born there or you end up migrating there. So we need to be careful. That's why when the country don't have a good government, the citizen is responsible. They elected the government of the day. So election is an important decision. You have to make use of your individual rights to choose the proper government. So that we will not have to face all those things. Okay, we move on. Indeed, money is just a symbol. It cannot warm or feed us. Material wealth or goods are what we truly need. Material goods are what are truly useful. I think what they are trying to say is materialistic goods are truly useful. For example, we use money to buy rice. But the production of rice actually requires the coming together of various conditions. Favorable weather, suitable soil condition, a sufficient supply of water to irrigate the plant, and a farmer's effort to till and tend the land. Only then can the grains be harvested and supplied to the people for consumption. Therefore, it is clear that money cannot accomplish everything. We depend on nature and the effort of many people to provide us with the things we need. Think about it. Doesn't this mean we should be grateful at all times? If you know how to reflect and contemplate, of course, that is very true. But society is such, we will evolve. Like in the olden days, I remember our education system also have taught us this. In the olden days, there was no money. There was no currency. So how do they actually do business? We call it the barter system. They exchange goods depending on your needs. When the demand is small, when the need is small, that thing is worth more. So it's supply and demand. But later on, human beings, our human society, we evolve and improve and come out with the monetary system, e-commerce, even financial commerce, banking and all those things. So a lot of things evolve over time through experience, through life experiences and encounter the need for it to change, to expand and to evolve. So all this, when you understand, then you will know why our present day society has improved by leaps and bounds, and a lot of things has become very much easier. Even the currency, they have been regulated through proper exchange rate, and also the value has been recognized throughout the world, especially nowadays when you travel. Currency are more stable, except off and on certain country. When they become problematic, then their currency will be affected. So certain currency that are not strong, people tend to give it less value, or they are not keen to hold on to those currency. So all this is part and parcel of society's evolution. Okay, we move on. At every meal, monastic practitioner must practice the five contemplation for mealtime. This one is very useful, eh? Very important. So we will read this contemplation. Contemplate one's own merits in relation to how hard people work for the food to be available. Contemplate one's own virtuous action and how one is not worthy of receiving this food offering. Contemplate how to prevent one's mind from committing transgression, such as having desire for flavors and food. Contemplate how eating a meal is like taking medicine that will nourish one's illusory body. Contemplate how one eats to have the healthy body so that one can engage in spiritual cultivation of practices. So this is their monastic contemplation, eh, when they are offered food. Before eating their meals, they sincerely put their palms together and contemplate their food with a heart of gratitude. They remind themselves the food does not come easily. Each grain of rice and each drop of oil is the result of the labor of many. So this type of contemplation, Theravada also have. The Theravada one also, the version is also very useful, very complete. For us, at a retreat or at certain occasion, we also have this food contemplation before the meal. We will actually reflect. Then we rejoice with the generosity of all those who make all this food available. Yes, whether you donate or you contribute through helping out through cooking or whatever. So when we rejoice in all this wholesomeness, then we invoke power of merits in return for their good and noble wishes or blessings. May it pave the way for them to realize their good and noble wishes. Then sometimes we also contemplate this food that we eat is for our sustenance, so that this body is healthy enough and in the appropriate condition to enable us to cultivate, develop the spiritual understanding, to walk the path of Dhamma. Then there are many other contemplations, not for indulgence, the food, not to like develop our craving or desire for good food. So all these contemplations are very helpful, very useful. So every individual benefits from the generosities of others, and everyone we encounter is our benefactor. For example, the farmers, the merchants provide the necessities for living. This is a matter of mutual benefit, mutual giving and receiving. As we receive the goods and services of others, we must also give in return, as well as seek to inspire love in more people. For example, in the aftermath of Cyclone Nargis in Myanmar, seed prices skyrocketed. However, the love and effort of Tsuji volunteers touched the local government and businessmen, who then lowered the price of the seed and fertilizer so Tsuji could obtain large amount of goods to distribute to people in need. This is considered the giving of materialistic goods. Money was used to buy seeds for the farmers, and after the farmers had sold the seed, tended the field, applied fertilizers, and harvested the crop, the food could be provided to everyone. So the farmer were givers as well. In addition, by demonstrating unconditional love and living out the Dhamma, Shiji volunteer inspired local government officers and business owners to participate in relief work, providing care for their many disaster survival. This is the giving of materials to good and the Dhamma at the same time. Besides the giving of materialistic good and the Dhamma, there is also the giving of fearlessness. No matter where disaster strike, living bodhisattvas, Shiji volunteers clad in blue and white uniform will always be there to provide relief and comfort to those affected. For example, in July 2008, Typhoon Kamangi and Typhoon Fengwang struck Taiwan, causing several flooding in central and southern region. Many elders who had no relatives to help them were at a loss about how to clear the mud from their homes. Some families were left without power and water, which makes the cleanup effort very difficult. But then the affected residents saw Shiji volunteers arriving. Many of them say, "Seeing you here, we know that we are safe, and so we feel at ease." The frowns that became smiles on the face of the disaster survivor show how Shiji volunteer has become pillar of support for others and were practicing the giving of fearlessness. Furthermore, helping disaster victim with the cleanup exemplify giving with the strength of our hand and feet. In our daily living, we can influence others to lend a hand or put in the effort ourselves. These all count as acts of giving. In addition, we can also give with our brain power. In our modern way of life, people often consume soft drinks and water that comes in bottles made of polyethylene material. For many years, the Shiji International Humanitarian Aid Association, TIHAO, researched a way to turn recycled PET bottles into material goods that could be distributed for disaster relief. This would not only help protect the environment, but also preserve resources. After careful research in 2006, Tiha successfully engineered a fabric made completely from recycled PET bottles. The fabric can be made into environmentally friendly blankets that are very soft and of high qualities. These blankets have already been used for disaster relief and emergency aids and have received international acclaim. The birth of this eco blanket is a result of a collective wisdom of many people. This is precisely how we can also give with our brain power. So when you have that innovation, that ability to innovate, you can actually make full use of your understanding or brain power, intellectual to help out, intellect to help out. In 2007, Tiha started making thermoware from the eco fabric and give out some a winter distribution. That very same year, product made of this fabric has been widely distributed as aid in Shiji's international disaster relief effort. In early 2008, Tiha collaborated with international business enterprise including Yan Factories. Yan Factories, fabric manufacturer and clothing manufacturer, to hold a large exhibition. These enterprises affirm the quality of the new fabric that Tiha has developed. After that, many young factories purchased material from Tiha to produce yarn. And some fabric manufacturers also brought eco yarn to fabric cloth. Fabricate cloth. All the proceeds were donated to disaster relief. Earlier, the verse of the Sutra of Innumerous Spinning talked about never begrudging anything internal and external in our acts of giving. In cultivating the Buddha's way, we must learn to let go. So long as what we are doing is in accordance with the Buddha's teaching, we should give without holding anything back. Even during the Buddha's lifetime, 2,500 years ago, many poor and suffering people were willing to give offerings to the Buddha. Clearly, giving is not only reserved for the rich. In the past, Cixi promoted educating the rich to help the poor. Now we must also educate the poor to realize their riches. Then the rich will be able to give generously, and the poor can also help others in need. So this is beautiful, a good synergy. When the poor need clothing and food, we give them warmth and nourishment. If they have nowhere to live, we help them find a place to settle down. This is very noble, very, very beautiful. This is considered the giving of materialistic things or goods. I often see Cixi volunteers helping those in need by cleaning their house and changing their beds, or helping the sick with their treatment and medication. These are all ways to give. What about the giving of Dhamma? In addition to upholding the precepts ourselves after hearing the Dhamma, we can also share the teachings with others. We must not be the only one who understands the teachings or principles and refuse to share them with others. Since we know them, we must pass them on to others. And furthermore, teach others to put them into practice. This is most important. If after listening to wholesome teaching we share, people can then promptly do good deeds and practice filial piety, then that is another way we are practicing giving. Whether we are giving tangible objects or intangible teachings, we must give freely without stinginess. In learning the Buddha's way, we are seeking to attain liberation so that we can cultivate great selfless equanimity and make great use of our wisdom life. It is a precious opportunity to be born as a human. We should make good use of our short time in this existential world by walking the Bodhisattva path. And when we come to the end of our life, we can still put our body to great use. Many Cixi volunteers spend their life in the service of others. Even after passing away, they continue on the Cixi path by donating their bodily parts and organs to medical education. Thus, their head, eyes, marrow, and brain are all given to others. By helping in the training of the many medical personnel who will relieve people's suffering, they are also practicing the giving of fearlessness. While we are still healthy, we can exercise our wisdom and brain power and work together in researching how to make great contribution to humanity. Now this is most important. how can each and every one of us make great contribution to humanity or be a blessing to all of humanity. This is the giving of our brain power and wisdom. This principle can also be seen in how scientists work collaboratively and mindfully to research, discuss, and continuously improve the way we make use of things. They cannot work in secret or in isolation. Instead, they need to each bring forth their strength and share their methodologies or understanding in order to achieve the best result. When everyone gives of themselves tirelessly, not to benefit their own individual career, but for the benefits of all or everyone, such unconditional and selfish or selfless giving is precisely never begrudging anything, internal or external, whether in the process of research or promoting the result. When scientists work together and continually offer their wisdom, opinion, and talent, they are just like the great enlightened ones of the universe, the Buddha. He used the universal principle that he awakened to as a means to help each person make the best use of their ability. So following the Buddha's teaching to cultivate giving is not that difficult. We can give to others while we are alive, and after our life is over, we can still give to others. To the very end, we manifest wondrous use of our body. Tsuchi is constantly promoting organ and body donation to assist in medical treatment to save life and to assist in medical research to uncover the mystery of medicine. This truly actualizes the Buddha's teaching. By giving our limited human life to the fullest, we extend the scope of our wisdom life. Okay, very good. We shall end here. Huh? Okay, so we can now maybe have slightly more time for sharing. Just the last Sunday session was very good. The sharing by, I think, was it Jinhao? Jinhao, Alicia, Miss Lee, and Po Ching. So we will open up for meditation reporting and sharing or Q&A. So I remember Brother Song promised to continue his sharing.
Brother, 我要 share 就是之前的一个那个meditation 的 experience. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. 今天我在做那个lying down meditation 的时候 then initially 那个可以 feel 到那个 center 的里面有一个很 subtle 的 vibration, then 慢慢的那个 mind settle down 了以后 then 那个 mindfulness 就很就可以 aware 到surrounding, like 那个风扇在转啊 then 外面的车啊
Yeah.
Then 我可以 feel 到我的 body 是 lying 啊，那个 contact with 那个 yoga mat.
Yeah.
And then 过后then 过后那个 mind 就慢慢的回到 center, 它慢慢的 slow down, 慢慢的就是很 deep 的在里面在 vibrating. 然后过后哦，就那个就开始那个脚就开始有那个 sensation 就 arise 了，它就一个，然后两个，然后三个，就慢慢的，然后就 spread 到了手也有，连那个脸也有，连那个 body 也有，
不用紧，也能摸，
对，然后它就整个的就一直很多的那个那个 sensation 就一直是 arise, 有一些就很 intense 的。就这样子意思就我就在整个lying down的时候我就这样子去 aware 到整个的那个 body 的这个这个 sensation 是这样子的
That is the trust, let the trust, the nature just do, it will move, it will activate, just let it happen, do not resist and do not try to know, just let it be. Then it will transform and many things can happen. Yeah. Yeah. You can continue to describe.
Yeah. 哇，就是那个他有一些的那个 sensation， 哇，很 intense 到哇，他很像要 trigger off 你整个人去哈、哦。我就是我还只是在 aware， 那有一些又很，你可以 simultaneously 的就 aware 到有一些是很轻的，有一些是很 intense， 整个 whole body 在手啊、脚啊、黏啊 body 的 whole body 来，它很像整个 open out 这样子，哇，全部。
对对对 ，the nature activate and move you， 嗯、，and sometimes it's like the sensation is， 哇 ，it is not painful type， but it's like sometimes it's like so intense， you feel very good， then sometimes it's like tickling you and all those things， but you can just be。Aware, relax, and allow it to be. So all those things that happen is what trust is all about. When you just trust, it will move, it will activate, it will transform. Whatever that need to happen will happen, and even those phase will come to pass. But initially, it will come quite often. It will come quite often. Until later on, all this stabilize. Stabilize means it has done enough of it. Then after that, you will go to another phase. Yeah, that another thing will happen. And later on, it may start again, but different experience again. Then the vibration become more like subtle, the vibration become more subtle and more like the whole thing become like more fine, more refined. Then you will go through many other things that can also trigger off. But most of the time it come for a while, maybe a few weeks or a few months. Then sometimes it will just disappear. Then you become very quiet, very still. Then the spacious awareness come back again. Then there's a lot of things that you will experience and go through. Then the nature become more and more stable, more and more stable. Yeah. But most important thing is to relax at the center. The center where the gateway is. You just maintain awareness and stay there and relax into it. That relaxation is very important. You must allow that thing to like continue to go in until it has become full. Means it has drawn until it has this ability to transform you more or less complete. And you will know when it's more or less complete, and you will go through another phase, another transformation again. So all this can happen. So just let it be. Let it be. Don't try to know. But after you come out, you can reflect on it, contemplate on it, and develop the joy, the marvel of all this. It's just like earlier on when Po Cheng was describing how amazing that trust is, the fourth support. When you can do it with the fourth support, oh, a lot of things become very different. Normal people cannot understand one, cannot go through one. Then she get to witness, she get to experience all these things. Then she realize whatever she go through, when she develop the sharing, my nature can understand and can explain to her, then she can know what that thing is, and she can see very clearly after that. The more you transform, your vibration become more and more subtle, more and more fine, until finally it like completely still, like no more movement. And then after that, you will move again, you will transform again, other things will happen again. So very good. So you continue to let it be, develop the trust, and see how it moves. Then you can learn more.
But Brito, 那个时候我在 line 到的时候，他是在 center 还是自己？他很 deep 的 inside， 是 in the center， 一直在那边啊。他很像很 subtle 的在那边啊 ，vibrating。
你不要去太执着那个 vibrating， you just let things be， 什么都不要知道 ，then let the nature move。你每次去抓 and stay there, initially it's okay because your mind become very quiet. Yeah, it stay there, it stay there. But this is specific to that phenomenon. Then you have to relax. Then only the yin yang energy can continue to melt inside, and the internal movement can continue. Yeah, but that one you only do when you are still during that phase. Continue to do.Then later on, when that phase is finished already, you will come to know, because whatever that need to melt inside has already gone in, and your vibration has transformed, and your mind has transformed. Then during that time, you don't just stay there. You just silence everything, develop the spacious awareness without a center. And then from there, it doesn't need to anchor there.It doesn't need to station there. Then that mind itself becomes the oneness. You have to move out from there. But that phase at the gateway is very, very long. It can be for many years inside there. You can continue to move and do, unless the condition manifests for you to move away. Sometimes the condition will manifest for you to experience.The spacious awareness without a center. Suddenly the mind just one with everything. It doesn't need to be anywhere. Where that mind has become the oneness. Spacious awareness without a center. So during that time, there is no mundane mind, nothing. But the awareness is very different. So when that thing happens, you can also...want to know, you can know. But only that moment, you can perceive, then over. That's why it can actually let you understand many, many things, sometimes very distant phenomena or whatever. Because when you are one with everything, certain thing that comes to your nature, you want to know, you can know. You want to know, you can know. Then you continue to learn to understand all this.Then you start to understand what that nature is. No words, always remember. But the mundane mind is very near. So the moment you experience something or want to know, the mundane mind actually come out already, even the very subtle one. But during that time, the cultivator will know what to do. It's just aware and finish. Then when you come out of it, you will know that mind has become very different.That true mind, that awareness nature has become very different. It has the ability to be one with all. So you have to allow that understanding to seep in. Then don't always look for that fine steel vibration. That phase you do during the early stage when you have detected the gateway,then relax into it. When you are at that point, you must always relax. The more relaxed, the more you are able to penetrate the gateway, the yin and yang. You must be in a very relaxed state without resistance. Resistance means the mundane mind, don't interfere. That's why it's the nature under trust. The nature justmove and activate. That's why after that it will move. It will trigger all those vibrations and all those things. So it's not you anymore. It's just that nature doing all the things. So you need to relax to allow the yin yang energy to go in. Yeah. So this yin yang energy, as it go in, it become pure energy. Pure energy. It's like the gateway is the purifying nature. So whatever yin yang energy that you have, when it melt inside, it become pure energy. And the pure energy is the one that true trust activate. Whatever it need to activate, it will move. It will cause all this sensation. That's why you don't resist that. It happened by itself. It's like that thing move you. So then you just relax, like accord and flow, and let it be. Sometimes it can be like very tingling sensation, like you say, very intense. Sometimes very soothing, very light, and all that. But it keep on moving, that vibration. Then the intensity of the vibration also will change, will transform. So all this are possible and can happen, and everyone is different. So the key to understanding all these stages is relax. Stay at the heart area, somewhere around there. Don't go and look for things. Let the nature detect it. The mind has to be completely silent and still without thought movement for it to detect. Because this gateway is without the yin and yang, is the unconditioned. So it can only be detected by the silent mind, completely silent. That's why that stability of the silent mind is very important. Then you relax into it. The more relaxed, the more ability the individual or the cultivator will have to actually, you don't know what word to use, to go deeper, to go deeper. It's like you have to relax, then you have to like let the nature just do. Then it will melt inside. Whenever you are curious, you try to know or you try to direct it, that thing doesn't work anymore. It's gone. So key thing is stay there, maintain awareness, then let it detect. The moment it detect, relax into it. Whatever mind state that arise, relax it. Then after it has gone in and develop all the movement, continue to relax. Continue to relax. That's why relaxation has a very, very deep stage of understanding. That relaxation phase has many, many levels. You need to relax and relax and relax until you are really completely relaxed. And that's why finally you are just being moved. You didn't resist at all. Like it just echo and flow like a cotton, like a cotton. You just like you are dead. The best example is like you are dead. You cannot control your movement and all those things. You just like a dead person, just let it move. But you are actually aware inside, you are not dead. You are also conscious as a human being. Conscious with the pure awareness. That's why you just aware. And that nature will stabilize, then you have to continue to relax and it will move. The movement is very unique and very beautiful. Okay, so this part, it will help you a lot. It will let you develop more understanding when you develop all this. Okay, yeah.
Okay, sadhu pratyu.
Yeah.
But 每一次他的这种 transformation 了过后出来了 他是会有 trigger off 这个 understanding 的吗?
It will transform your vibration first. Your true mind become more and more refined, more and more refined until it's very, very fine. So when it's very fine, it will cause your mundane mind to collapse. Initially, it will cause your mundane mind to collapse. So if you continuously develop it and become very stable, Then over time, not long, your mundane mind should start to have the effect. Then after that, it will collapse off. For my case, I remember it took me 9 months. 9 months for the whole mundane mind to collapse. But the whole 9 months, I was fully aware of this movement and transformation. Because that time, I already knew what this thing is. Then I know I have to remember what happened so that later on, I can share all this. Because there are many of the transformation during the early days that happened. I didn't get to record it or develop the clear understanding. It happened very fast. It happened very fast. And it happened very fast is because my nature from the past took me back to what I am, to the level I was very fast. I like dream through or skim through. Zoom, I reached there very fast. That's why a lot of things that happened, I got no chance to like try to look back and develop the understanding of the stages, how it happened. But this later part, before the mundane mind collapse and the vibration become more and more fine, then my nature knew this mundane mind is too gross. It cannot stay there, cannot continue to be sustained under this type of fine vibration. That this supramundane mind, the pure mind, the true mind, the vibration has become so fine, the pure energy, until the mundane mind cannot stay. That's why it collapsed. But it takes a while. Well, for me, it takes me 9 months, you all maybe longer. But before it happened, you will know something in front of your forehead there, something happened, the movement there, you know. Then certain stage your brain like cannot think one. It tell you want to suffer, you go and think. You want to suffer, you go and do all this arising of perception, arising of all the sankhara movement of activity. And a lot of things you cannot do already during that time. But all this phase will come to pass also. When the mundane mind collapses already, after that, the nature, the supramundane mind shine forth. Then the awareness nature like suddenly shine forth. Like no more mundane mind to cloud that nature. And that nature just manifests and shine forth. And it's like you are one with that pure mind, the true nature. Then that time, practically like there is nothing at all, just the pure nature, pure awareness. Just like that. Then during that time, things that I never see before, I start to see. You know, last time, before it collapsed, a lot of things, actually everything is still the same. But during that time, you cannot see, very funny. Because the mundane mind is still there, the activity is there, that vibration is still very strong. But when the mundane mind collapsed, the supramundane mind come out, wow, that time, that clarity is very different. So, that clarity and that ability to see things as they are will give rise to the wisdom. And that time, everything you reflect and contemplate, you understand. And you penetrate very deep. That's why you don't be too eager to understand or know how the wisdom comes. You have to let it happen. After it happens, then you will understand how this thing come about. It's not the other way around. That's why the Buddha say, this Dhamma is Pachetang, can only be realized by the wise each for themselves. Well, before it happened, you use your thinking mind or your whatever understanding that you may have at that time, you try to use the thinking or the knowledge or the whatever understanding you have to understand that which is before it happened, you cannot get it on. You cannot get it on. You cannot understand what that thing is. Maybe you roughly know what it is, but before it happened, you cannot understand. But when it happened already, then you will understand. That's why I can share with you all these things. It's because after it happened, then my nature developed the clear understanding. Then you all are lucky because before my Monday mind collapsed, I know these are very important. That's why I even told my wife that before the thing happened, you better reflect, contemplate, and be mindful, be aware. See your sankhara, all those things, the mundane mind movement for as long as you can. Because after that, it's gone already. You want to see, you also cannot see. Right? Because it's no longer there. The whole thing collapsed already. And for my case, 1989, I think 9 months later, end of 89, the mundane mind gone, no more. So until today, it's 22 years already. So you asked me to recall, I cannot recall, but I was lucky because when it happened that time, I knew this or whatever the or heedfulness or mindfulness that I had to see how that mundane mind actually move. Because most people, if you are not cultivator, you never understand how that mundane mind really move. The initial stage of cultivation, the sainthood way, you may have certain amount of mindfulness and stability and all things. That one you see is the gross one, the gross one. The fine one you haven't seen. The subtle, later on the subconscious and the unconscious one, and the subtle movement one, oh, that one is another set. So all this, you can only understand after you have gone through the cultivation and transformation. As you transform, you understand. As you transform, you understand. But before you transform, don't try to know. Before you pass those stages, don't try to know. You can reflect and contemplate, and roughly, you know it's so beautiful, so amazing. But don't try to know. You can never know until you have control. It's like that one. It's just like you develop certain skill or certain understanding of your career or whatever. Before you have that experience and the full understanding, you cannot see the whole picture. Then you cannot like want to teach people or what. You can foresee the problem and all that. You have gone through the whole process, you understand not? But when you are just a young graduate, going through the first few years of training, you haven't seen enough, you haven't experienced enough, you haven't gone through enough. All this, whatever you read, even people try to share with you or what, is just knowledge to you. Where you haven't gone through, you don't have the skill and the experience. But the spiritual aspect is even more profound. The spiritual aspect involves not only knowledge, complete transformation of awareness and consciousness. And many things happen inside. So you have to go through. Then, after that, you look back, you understand. So it's just exactly like a very experienced professional, like an engineer or doctor or what. If they want to train a young graduate or what, they can do it very easily. And provided the young engineer or the doctor or whoever that profession have faith in that teacher, they will learn very fast. So if you were to on your own learn, not easy. That's why I choose my career path, and my path actually helped me, take me. So with the understanding, my engineering career, so I choose my career path. I move into all sector where the civil engineer can really learn and experience. So because of that, I reached the pinnacle of my career. I look back, I can see everything. Everything that a civil engineer can experience or develop the training, I went through the whole path. When I graduated, I started off with a contractor first. Then I was there not long. Then I went to they sent me to this construction site where I also involved with the running of the factory, the manufacturing, the precast concrete and spun powder thing. Then after that, the government called me up. I joined the government sanctuary body. Then later on, I joined the private institution, the university and all this thing. That one also, I think, very interesting. Then after that, I decided to come out and test myself. That's how I joined a consultant. Then I joined a listed company. I do privatization. I move into major infrastructure project. Of course, CNA, civil structure, the basic engineering, all my nature have the understanding already. That's why all this I moved through. Yeah. Then I developed the clear understanding very fast because it's quite similar to the spiritual cultivation. Then from there, I look back when I want to train somebody, I want to teach somebody, it's very fast, very easy. Yeah, very easy. So cultivation in the spiritual field is the same. If you are not controlled, you are not transformed. You read the Mahayana Sutta especially, you cannot understand. Yeah. Even the Theravada Sutta, not easy to understand. Yeah. Then how to teach? So to really teach, you have to go through. You have to realize that awakening, that transformation. Therefore, the higher training that demands the awareness-based meditation, breaking free from the mundane mind, you have to go through the three hallmarks of awakening. The Diamond Sutta, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the Surangama Sutta, and also what we are going through, the Sutra Innumerous Meaning, and later on, the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian. All these are the Bodhisattva way, the cultivation. So the teachings are there, but before you penetrate and transform, you cannot understand. That's why you need people who have that ability to explain all this to you. Then there is a good probability and possibility that you can actually learn faster and move faster, because the person who has gone through has the ability to share with you the pointer, the direct seeing, the understanding and all those things. Otherwise, this type of thing is not easy. If you have not gone through, you cannot teach. Because you don't know what that thing is. And you don't know the phases of transformation, how this thing happened. Yeah. Everyone can be different, and it can happen in different ways. But the basic is always there. There is variation, but the basic is always there. And the stages of transformation is always there. It depends on the individual's parami and all those things. So all those things fall into play. That's why it's wonderful in that sense. Zhen kong miao yu. So don't be too eager to know. Always remember. Persevere, be patient, have faith and just do. Then listen attentively. Then just follow the instruction. Then it will transform, it will manifest. Then as you move on, you will develop the understanding yourself. Then later on, you will be able to share those things that you really experience and see. Then my nature will understand that it can share and guide you further. Then later on, when you develop until maybe your nature is already better than my nature, and then I have to tell you, I can't guide you anymore. Maybe you need to train yourself or seek a higher guide. So all this may happen. Okay, so don't try to know. That one is still a very important understanding. The reason how it happened, don't try to know. It will come when you go through, when you transform.
Okay? Yeah. OK，谢谢，谢谢Virgil，Virgil 真的是很重要。Virgil，你的这个 explanation， recently explanation 给我很多的这个guidance， 让我看到了怎样的去 cultivate 啊，来就很像去调整那个自己。
要调整一点点这里那边，
哎呀，
very micro adjustment, but 很重要的这个调整，
yeah.
因为的 micro adjustment 如果没有调整，你就好像以前这样了。以前你 stuck because you want to know， the question always come back through the back door. It is from the analysis, the reasoning, and other things. That's why you don't try to know, you just do. Then when you move and transform, you will know. That's why I like coaching, he just follow instruction and do. He move very fast, very fast. And when you try to apply your knowledge, it will come and trap you. Then you get stuck there. Then you think you know, but you cannot move. That's why you have to, like, 你说调整啊, which is very true. That word is correct. Like micro adjustment. This micro adjustment is very important. You have you seen how they open this mechanical safe or not? The chop and all those things, the big one. They got a lot of the like the gear thing inside there on the movement. So you have to move until it's very, very micro. Then only you can get it. That's why this type of lock very difficult to open. You really have to be very precise and very sensitive. Then they can open it. So in a similar way, cultivation is the same. Because if you don't know the micro adjustment or they call it 调整啊, it's not easy. You can get stuck there for very long and cannot resolve it. And yet you still don't know. You think you are still doing the cultivation and all those things. But when you really, one day after you do the sharing, then I explain, then you listen. Just like the other previous sharing, I think I told Chin Hao, listen to that again for over a period many times. The understanding is very deep because it is way ahead of what he realized or doing now. Then for your case also same. You have already progressed and moved quite fast, but you are still at the stage where you still have that subtle wanting to know. That thing you have to slowly, slowly develop the clear understanding so that you trust your nature to do. Trust your nature to do means just let it be. Gai lai jiu lai. 言起言灭嘛。When the condition is there, things will manifest. It will arise. And you will understand. When the condition is not there, not right yet, just let it be. True curiosity, it doesn't really help. It will sometimes make that cultivator more miserable. Like those who want to progress very fast, too eager to awaken, cannot, they get stuck on, they become frustrated. But for your case, it's different. Yeah, you all have gone through all those earlier on. So now you are at the more refined stage of cultivation where you need all this micro adjustment. So 调整. So like just now I explained, you go back and listen to it again. Just now I explained a lot of things from many perspectives. So when you can develop the clear understanding, then you will know that the cultivation is actually so beautiful, so wonderful. There are so many things involved. Okay?
This is very dear, this is very dear. Yeah. 我如果没有听你的explanation，我就以为我一直在 daily 里面去做那个 daily 的那个 mindfulness，然后过后我上个礼拜再听了你的explanation，我再听回我上个月你给我的那个 advice，我才知道原来是 daily mindfulness 要去做 yoniso manasikara 先啊，
你
因为哎我
他的 mind transform 了啊，他是
啊。
出来的。Then you awaken one, the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight, 他自己现出来的，他现出来
Yeah.
了啊。It become part of your nature one, 不会不见的。Then later on, in your daily life, whatever you experience through your senses, the wisdom will come out. The yonisou manasikara will manifest. Yeah. Then when it manifests, you no need to try to deal with it. Like, what did Brother Teo say? What did the Buddha say? What did the Dhamma say? Then you try to act. No. The yonisou manasikara straight away prompt you with the wisdom and you will know what that thing is. And straight away, you will know how to act. That's why spontaneously, it will no longer affect you and all. And this is the real one. The other one is knowledge-based one. They try to, like, it's going through that reflection, contemplation, and mix with analysis on Dhamma knowledge. So that one, they cannot, when they encounter defilement, they cannot act. They cannot act. They always use their whatever views, opinion, and conditioning to act. Means from Dhamma knowledge. But the one with the real yoniso manasikara from the awakening and the understanding one, no need to think one. That nature just prompt you one, pow, it come out. That's straight away understand one. Rupang anicca, the meaning all very deep one, very clear one, like you mentioned, after you have understood and heard me out, then you realize, wow, so different, so beautiful. Every time you listen, it's different again because you have reached that understanding to understand. Before that, cannot because the cultivation is such you cannot see means you cannot see. But when you have reached that stability and understanding, then when you see, you become very beautiful. Like last session sharing, I remember I shared with them. If the Cameron Highland, can allow us to hold a retreat, maybe many months later, towards the later part of the year. This time the retreat will be very, very different. This time the retreat, a lot of Kanyamita will progress and transform and become very different. Because the Kanyamita force, the consciousness, the nature, everything is already moving very, very fast. And the level of understanding is very different. Already. So even if I were to go through your on the Heart Sutta, the cultivation, all those things, just like Miss Lee mentioned last sharing, nowadays all the sharing and the meditation reporting is so different from the early days. Now it's involving the actual cultivation, what people were not able to do in the early days. Now there are many Kayamita or cultivator who can do. That's why it's so different. Even Chin Hao also progressed. And your case, Ho Cheng, then even many others, I think, because Alicia also moved. Then Wesley also moved to a certain extent. Then there are many. Some are very quiet. They don't want to share or talk about it, but they have moved, they have progress, even in video all. So a lot of them, they are starting to have the faith because of the sharing. So this will help many Kanyamita to determine strongly. Yeah, this is the window that is the most beautiful and most conducive. Okay, so
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Brother Teo. Sadhu.
It's about my meditation reporting. Actually, I wasn't really doing meditation yet. I was just relaxing.
Yeah.
So I was relaxing, like I was trying with my new technique, relaxing, right? So relaxing.
Yeah. That one is
the
very
method
beautiful.
I use, method I use is like, I will like, because I learned this from Koming-san Temple first learning meditation.
Okay.
I went for this course called relaxing, mindfulness meditation. So, because relaxation is very important, so I learned that.
Yeah.
So, it will just tell you to like, every part of your body, you have to relax, every cell, every body, relax. So, you just mindfully relax. So, Brother, I went through from the head first. They always start with the head first. So, I was going through the head.
Yeah.
And then, when I hit to my chin, right, so it starts in the top of the head, the brain, then the forehead, and then the eyebrow and the center, and then the eyes, and then the nose, the ears, the cheeks, and then the mouth and the lips.
Yeah.
And then when it hit my chin, out of a sudden, the chin and the face, the jaw area there,
something
like a whole piece of thing, right? Moving, I do not know, because my eyes was closed when I was relaxing, right?
Never mind,
because we always relax with eyes closed. So I can see, see the like microscope.
It's like x-ray,
Whole thing of the area, it's not the normal thing that you see of a face of
correct.
It is like the do you call it molecules or particle? I don't know what it is, lah.
Don't worry about it.
It's like an X-ray
capability.
It's like silent choiceless observation.
Because you have the ability to be aware. That's why you can do the relaxation until so fine that level, because you move slowly. Then when it hit that one, it's like last time your dental thing. There is something you want to heal or you want to correct. Then all this will manifest on.
This time it showed to me that the microscopic picture of it, is randomly moving.
Oh, definitely.
Fast and so fast and so fast and then
sustain.
And then after that, the whole thing drop off from the face like that.
That's what you perceive it, isn't it?
The picture is like that, but it's just like
Something is gone.
Dissipate,
and the whole thing is gone. Means your awareness has actually cleared your problem. It has healed you. That part of the problem is already gone. Which is very good if you can have the experience. That's why during that time when we are very mindful and aware, and we can develop that type of like accord and flow without resistance, that very deep relaxation and silence, actually the body heals by itself. Then that pure energy, it can actually cause a lot of things to happen. Sometimes it can cause gas to be released. When you go to your abdomen area, your stomach area, or your chest and your heart area, the byproduct is gaseous. It will come out. Then sometimes it like, many things happen. Then the releasing of the gas and all those things also, very soothing one. Like you didn't force it or resist it one. It's like very naturally it happened. Then it clear by itself. That's why whatever toxic or what the byproduct was, it will clear it. And then it will like heal you. During the initial stage, yes, this thing is very useful, very effective. It's like it heal you and make your body very healthy, very different. So you are going through all this phase because you have the ability to develop the awareness to relax. And you have some form of training before. This is actually the same as our mind sweeping method, except you are doing it at a more micro level. Means you move slowly from your forehead, you slowly move. Then to your, we call it the eye muscle, the eyebrow, you know. Then you slowly move down to your facial muscle, your cheek, you know. Then wherever you detect anything that the body needs to like correct or heal, something will happen on. Then that pure energy can actually do the work. But of course, see it, severe type of sickness inside cannot. You don't go and like foolishly think that everything is pure energy can help. Like I explained before last time, if your artery is blocked, this type of energy cannot clear that thing one. It's impossible. Because this one has hardened already. Because this one is energy. This one is pure energy. This one is the movement. Whatever that is trapped, whatever that is that need to be released can be released, can. But all the blockage orders, it cannot. You need doctor, means you need doctor. It's like our house sewage pipe. If it's clogged until very bad, you don't expect to pour certain chemical in, or certain, use certain energy to create. Cannot. You need to remove that clog. You need to remove that clog. So, help is the same. So all these things that you can try will actually help you to understand more and more. What I want you to develop more understanding is, after you have done all this, especially for your case poaching, you can actually experiment with many other things. So this relaxation one is one of the things that you experiment in and you can do it. And this one is good to you, very unique to you, and you can actually come up with your own understanding as you go through all this. For me, I have done some of this, but I didn't go until so elaborate, because when I relax, I really relax. When I was lying down, it moved by itself. Well, yours is a guided one. Guided one is because you like doing the mind sweeping method. You want the whole body to have that tranquilizing, relaxed state and transformation. So you can do, but it's a guided, because you are using your conscious mind to guide your awareness. You want to go to the forehead to relax, do whatever you can. But with your state of cultivation, you can do it, and it's no harm. That's why I said you can experiment with it. You can go and try some of this, which is unique to maybe your past, your nature. Then you find out. You find out. But most of the time, you have to remember when you meditate, don't direct. Understand? Direct means don't use your thought to direct it. Just relax, maintain awareness. Okay, Bajay?
Okay, yes. Thank you, Radio. So it was just a relaxation. I didn't even expect that to happen, but it just happened by itself, you know?
Yeah. And it can happen, no problem. Because you know how to relax and maintain awareness. Although you direct it to be at a specific part, but after you are there, you relax, you can do already. Because you have that mindfulness and the awareness, the stability of the awareness nature. That's what you can do. But other people, they can't. They direct and it become thought-based. Then they try to fix, they try to, the thought actively do. But for you, you just let things be. It just completely relax.
Yes.
And the whole movement
is
by itself.
It happened by itself. I mean, I just bring it around, but it doesn't
You only direct it when you want to move it. Then after that, you know how to relax and let the nature do.
That's
why you can do it, I say. If other people try and follow you, you end up thought-based most of the time. But they will also benefit, because The relaxation is very good because you feel. I teach them the mind sweeping method. Feel and relax into it. Feel and relax into it. So that one deconditioned their heedless thinking. They will feel calm, peaceful. But their mindfulness, their awareness nature, not stable yet. That's why they cannot go in as deep as what we can do. So this is where the difference is. So the awareness nature is very important. That's why they have to stabilize that one. Then whatever they do become very different. Where your mind, if it has not transformed, means it cannot do. Once it transformed, it can do. But even if they cannot do, if they follow the instruction to just relax and maintain awareness, means don't think anymore, then it will decondition the heedless thinking. They will benefit. That's why the mind swing method is also a very good way of deconditioning the heedless thinking and make your mind calm, peaceful, and just aware. That is the beginning of awareness. That stabilize it. To stabilize it, they can either go into anapanasati or what, like what you went through. Then after that, until you're very quiet, very still, then the mind enters sati, then it drops to the heart area, then you relax and follow instruction, do trust, then it detects that nature, then you open up, then the whole thing, the movement transforms. That's how it can happen. But
that is very true.
Yeah.
If this one have to, don't try to know.
You cannot.
If you try to know, it
direct
cannot
work. It cannot earn. Impossible.
Yes. Everything has to be like a cut and flow, just relax. That's it, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it will just happen by itself through the trust.
Yeah. You can understand where you went through it. You follow the instruction very closely. That's why my nature rejoins.
Sadhu. Yes.
Okay, very
it
good.
Happens
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, Bojang. Yeah.
That is one thing. The other thing, like Bratil mentioned, the so-called meditation really helped my body to heal.
Yeah,
you know?
I
can feel part of my body that is aching or in pain and very stiff.
You know, now
after
no more,
my meditation, it disappeared.
It clear.
Especially my back, my back, right? After the tennis, you know, all the housekeeping and blah, blah, blah.
It was
injured and very stiff, you know, like for that day, I couldn't like walk properly because of
correct,
my back.
Correct, correct. But you know how to relax. Then after you heal, because pure energy nature can heal you. But this one maybe for the few years, up to about 6-7 years, very effective. Then every time you want to recuperate, you just relax and silent, you will recuperate one. But after that 6-7 year or 10 years, you will know the body is still a body. Means you have already have the ability to use the pure energy for so long. It's like you take all the po yok, the Chinese herbs, the jia po one, you take all the po yok. Then after a while, after a certain period, it becomes like normal to you, the po yok already serve you enough. So if you can still age and get sick, means the po yok also has its limit to what it can do. Then you need to actually experience and endure the reality of the form. But not a problem. We will know how to recover faster. But the body is still a body. Towards the end, you still have to accept the limitation of the form. It goes the way of nature. Then a lot of things you will understand, you will know how to actually recuperate and recover through whatever means. Then sometimes with the support of some other, like certain type of medication that can help, you will know, and you will know how to make use of it. Then sometimes even certain type of exercises that is suitable, you will also know. Because later on, I came to know as I age, I like to swing hand and actually exercise my hand and my feet and my body. When I do that, I realize it helps because the body is like a car. No, you don't run it, don't use it. It actually wear and tear faster. Then our pure energy, we actually shouldn't waste it too much to heal certain part. Your body is a body. It goes the way of nature. That's why sometimes after a while, after about 10 over years, I just let things be. Because no point. Your mind will not be able to be like last time because it has the ability. Then it's like very interesting. You go into it, you relax, you're silent, you heal, you come out beautifully. Then you know other people cannot do. Last time during the early stage, I remember, I just relax 5 to 10 minutes, I recuperate or no. I can become alert again, then I can drive my car again. Last time I used to drive home from PJ to Alaska. Then I can drive long distance. But I need to rest for a while. Then after that, I become very fresh again. But like I say, from 10 minutes, later on I need half an hour. Then later on I need 1 hour. Then I need 2 hours. Then nowadays when I have certain type of like flu or what weakness or what, I will have to go 1 full day. I have to rest, sleep early and rest 1 full day. Then I will recover. No matter how bad my flu or sinus is, I will recover the next day. But of course, I do take the antihistamine. Because the antihistamine actually helped me to direct all those whatever thing that need to go through the gateway. It go there. Very funny. I also don't know why the antihistamine. Maybe it stop the histamine, then it doesn't disturb. Then all the qi flow very well. Then it heal me. But now it take longer and longer. So now it's still overnight, I will heal. So all this, you will learn, Bucheng. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu. Thank you very much
for
your
pointers
and teaching.
Sadhu, yeah.